a doctor in the house.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor.
It's time for Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashid Batar.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
The doctor is in.
We've got Dr. Rashid Batar with us doing advanced medicine all over planet Earth. People are tuning in to hear what we got to say, what we got to discuss, Dr. Batar. And we got a few stories to cover. Last hour, our buddy, the health ranger, Mike Adams, who's, you know, the global censorship that is just manifesting through online social platforms. We've got to strategize ways to, you know, keep communicating, getting the message out. In some ways, we can communicate better than we've ever been able to do. And we've been doing this for many years, reaching folks. But we recognize there's always the negative forces, whatever you call those negative forces, trying to rise up and meet us or defeat us. And we don't play a game of victim here. We continue to find ways to communicate that, which is so important. And I always say we've just got to keep telling our stories. Keep telling our stories, because we've lost the storytelling from generation to generation. And that's how we ended up in this mess, at least partially.
Yeah, I agree with you. The narrative is very important to continue so that those that come after us remember what we went through, so that they are aware, they're conscious. And once they are aware and conscious, then hopefully they won't repeat the same mistakes that we've made, which because we didn't heed the warnings of those that came before us.
Mm-hmm.
History exactly. Repeats itself.
Yeah, history does repeat itself, especially when you don't know what happened, or even more importantly, why it happened, which is so much why I didn't like history in grade school and high school and college until I began to learn real history outside of that on my own study to find out, my gosh, these dates and times and places and what happened there were linked to things in other dates and times and places, and they weren't just independent events devoid of causality. Which right. is the same thing we see in modern medicine with disease, as they focus on pathology instead of causality.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And the lack of addressing causality is one of the problems. That this is one reason we end up going to the symptom management aspect by using drugs that cover up all the different symptoms. And when you make an analogy with a car, for example, and you talk about if you took your car to a mechanic and the mechanic said, let me just cover up the sound that's in your car, that the engine, that's a knocking sound, by turning up the radio or by giving you a set of earmuffs or whatever else, you know, somehow obscuring that noise. Yeah. What would you say about that mechanic? And everybody says, well, of course, I would know that the mechanic hasn't done anything to the car. Well, that's exactly how modern medicine has been, you know, functioning. We cover up the symptoms, and then because it's out of sight, out of mind, we get a false sense of security that there's no mm-hmm. issue, whereas in fact, there's a major issue. It's going unattended, unrecognized and unresolved, and so it just continues to fester and gets worse and worse until finally the engine just locks up, right? Mm-hmm. And this is not just in medicine. We see this in many other aspects of society today. So out of sight, out of mind seems to be the modus operandi of
yeah.
our current society. And so it's important to understand we need to address the cause. And once you address the cause, then whatever the symptom you're suffering from, that whatever's causing the problem, you don't need to have to worry about alleviating it now, because acknowledging the cause and addressing the cause, the mm-hmm. symptom by definition should go away if the cause is a correct cause.
How about downstream of whatever is the diagnosis? Here's our first story, and I'm going to go with your car analogy. I like that. I'm not an auto mechanic. I know basic level stuff. But it's like, it's saying, what about those forgotten valves in your engine? And you're like, well, what do you mean forgotten valves? Well, when you run out of oil in your car, the valves are going to take a big hit. They might, you know, it's just going to destroy them. And you're like, why should we worry about the valves? How about the oil that you forgot to put in and replace? And here's our first story, sort of like that. Y'all tell me, and Dr. Batar, you tell me if we're onto something here. Headline reads, forgotten organs may hold clues to new type 2 diabetes treatment. They're actually bringing up, like, who talks about the spleen? If you have type 2 diabetes, the spleen could be in trouble. And like, wait, how does knowing about what happens downstream from a type 2 diabetes diagnosis impact what you're going to use for treatment? How about correcting the cause of the type 2 diabetes?
Well, you know, this is interesting that we're talking about this particular topic right now. You remember at the Advanced Medicine Conference, Robert, when we talked about the role of the appendix and the role of yes. the
the tonsils, big time.
Tonsils, yep,
man,
exactly.
did Bruce Lipton get passionate about that or what?
Yeah,
man,
absolutely.
He was not holding back.
No, because it's one of the biggest atrocities that we're committing, right? The vaccinations is one of these, and then to add insult to injury, we start removing the tonsils, but the thymus is forgotten, the appendix is forgotten. They're called vestigular organs, you know, organs from an evolutionary past that we don't need anymore. But that's just the most absurd thought process. And I was actually very aware of the thyroid aspect and the thymus aspect and the tonsillar aspect. Mm-hmm. What I wasn't aware of was the appendix aspect. And Bruce had actually shared that with me about 5-6 months ago. And I remember when I just started thinking to myself, the entire microbiome, the signature of the microbiome that our bodies hold, which is obviously in the tonsils and also in the appendix, we don't recognize that. But I was just thinking about all the appendectomies that I've been involved with throughout my surgical career and as a resident. And it was just like, how many hundreds of people did I take the appendix out of? And they needed that, right? And so there's this awareness that we have to first have before we can actually solve the problem. You can't solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. And that's Einstein's quote. And that's one of the other problems in our society, that we have all these problems, but we created the solutions that we're trying to come up with are with the same mindset that created the problem in the first place. So when you're talking about these organs that are forgotten, you know, you're talking about the spleen, and sometimes people even think about how many times does a regular doctor in a regular clinic talk to a patient about the liver? And it's very, very seldom. Unless the liver function tests up, they don't talk about the liver. Now, you know, in the head map, it's kind of funny, Robert. We have the primary organs, and then we have what I call the secondary, less important organs, like the heart, the brain. You know, I call those the secondary organs, and people kind of laugh. But you've seen that in the head map report. It's actually in smaller font and small, because they're less important from a detoxification aspect.
Yeah, because they're downstream from the critical starting point. And we talk about this today. It's beautiful. Again, orchestrated and written before we got here. The script was written, but the whole idea of causality. And when you realize that the heart is down, what do you mean downstream? It's like it's pumping the stream. No, it's impacted negatively over time because our excretory pathways are congested due to the toxic inflow and or deficiencies from food. It's not there to prevent or to kind of remediate and protect all of these things. And, you know, I've talked about kidney issues. It's like, well, if the doctor had ever just said once, what are you doing that your liver is hard? Well, they don't know, because until there's elevated enzymes, it's like you don't have a liver.
Exactly. I mean,
that's right. That's the way it's played.
That the liver and the kidney are the two organs that are completely ignored unless you have BUN creatinine elevation, which means your blood, your nitrogen, and your creatinine levels, how well the kidneys are functioning, that's elevated, or your liver function enzymes, the LFTs, the AST, ALT, and the GST, when those enzymes go up, that's the only time that in conventional medicine will they look at the liver or they'll look at the kidneys. Now, the problem is that when you start looking at the liver when the AST and the ALT is up, that's like looking at the house after the fire has already burned it down. The fire's continuing. You know, you got to look at the fire. And when the fire spark happens and then the alarm goes off and then the fire engines come in, they're trying to come in to prevent the fire and then stop the fire. But when you're dealing with the AST, ALT elevation already, that fire is already destroying the house. It's already too late. I mean, you need to then at that point to stay away from it and let it burn type thing. You know what I mean? That from a burning the house standpoint. Yeah. So we're not addressing the issues at the right time is a point.
Yeah. And then you're worried about the spleen later on, like, oh, that's going to mean you got a better drug for type 2 diabetes. What kind of lunatics are we have running the medical asylum? And that's what we're dealing with. Now, I want to...
running the medical asylum. Yeah,
folks, I want you to have access to the information we revealed and was released at the Advanced Medicine Conference a couple of weeks ago in California. And it was videotaped. The entire seminar was videotaped, every lecture presentation, including with the PowerPoint presentations that have been embedded or being embedded into it. Now, Dr. Bitar, I want you to relate somewhere in this hour how people were going to be able to access that, even if they didn't attend the event. But the idea that you brought up and the reality of what is with the tonsils? What about the appendix? What can you relate in a brief way? Obviously, I want people to get the lectures that Bruce did and get in the whole weekend. That was so stunning. that maybe for those that weren't there, they might go, well, I hear you talking about tonsils and appendix, but I don't really get it. You know, what are you saying that's different that I didn't know or doctors don't know?
Well, that's a, let me see if I can summarize it, Robert. I'll do the best that I can. I don't think it's going to be as good as obviously. I mean, when Bruce started talking, you remember, this was in the hot panel. I wasn't even doing one of his lectures.
No. And I was like, oh my gosh, here he goes. And I'm like, get out of the lecture way.
Itself. I mean, because that was almost like 45 minutes of him talking. Because I think our second, our panels, one of them went in almost 2 hours. So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. He was so passionate about it. So the tonsils and the appendix are basically, reservoirs of information that are necessary for the body to continue to evolve as we develop, as we mature. So from the time we're born, even before we're born, to the time that our bodies, our immune systems are fully developed, the appendix holds information, as do the tonsils, to help know and recognize what foreign substances are, helps the immune system to be basically trained. Think of it as the educational system for the immune system, which are harbored in and housed in the tonsils and in the appendix. And Dr. Lipton went into a lot of detail in explaining how when, you know, children put their hands in their mouth and then they create that antigen-haptin reaction. But when you introduce something to the skin, through i.e. a vaccine, you're not going through the normal way that God designed the system to work. So you're bypassing a lot of the natural immune building system. So, you know, I think in a nutshell, that's basically, I think that's the best thing I can do to summarize it. But he goes into a lot more detail, and it's extremely, extremely powerful.
Yeah, that alone is worth the price of admission, folks.
I was just going to
get these videos, right? And receptivity. We talk about receptors, cell membranes, the destruction of the cell membranes, much less the cells. And by the way, interestingly enough, glyphosate is known to destroy cell membranes. Yep. Glyphosate is soaked on all. You think oatmeal is good in the morning? Well, if that oatmeal is not organic, they have soaked it and desiccated it in glyphosate, punching holes in your cell membranes. And so, you know, you think, I'm eating good, I'm going to lower my cholesterol, as if that needs to even happen. You're actually elevating inflammation and damage to tissue. But in this case, the ripping out of vestigial organs, whatever they call them, is just causing you to have a less capacity to adapt to your environment. The law of the terrain, the information that comes in, your body, your cells, they all, you know, gene expression based on what you're faced with. And you're basically retarding, maybe the word, but you're corrupting your ability to survive and thrive in different environments. And that's one of the most amazing things about creation, is that we can live in such wide and varied environments due to our receptors and our communication tools at the cellular level, which, you know, I encourage folks, is like they say, how do I know what to eat? Dr. Batar, last hour, we had an article about identical twins, right? Almost genetically identical, right? They're identical twins. And finding out the same diets manifest differently in their bodies.
Remember, we talked when we had the article that we covered about the astronauts, the two twin astronauts. Remember, they kept one down here and they sent one up there, and the change in environment, how even identical twins. So it's absolutely stunning how the environment impacts even two individuals that are essentially identical. Mm-hmm. In a different manner. Yeah. And this concept you were talking about, you know, when the word that was escaping me at the time was repository. Mm. That was what Dr. Lipton used, that the tonsils and the appendix act as a repository for information and then help to basically train and develop. It's almost like destroying your tutor, destroying your teacher, so that you don't know what you're supposed to, the immune system doesn't know what it's supposed to do or how it's supposed to learn. And by actually removing the tonsils and by removing the appendix, we are not only putting the individual behind, but then when we start doing things like vaccinations, we're not only bypassing, but we're now introducing substances into the system that are not naturally going to ever be exposed. For example, you know, you talk about, and I just had this epiphany recently, just a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk about introducing a haptin, an antigen, or whatever the virus, bacteria, whatever we're doing in order to create a response, right? But how many times do we get exposed to that bacteria or that virus by our skin being penetrated? And the answer is never. You always get, I mean, unless you have like some kind of injury.
An open wound, but it's a very unusual, we call that an accident for a reason. It's not how we walk around with open gaping wounds. If we do, we're not long for this earth.
And the thing is that the vaccines that have been used, they're not used for the gaping wounds, because that's a staph strep, you know, that's staph that comes out of the skin. So it's not going to help you for that anyway.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that our entire system of medicine and prevention, you know, they talk about a good preventive doctor is somebody who does all the vaccinations, you know, childhood vaccinations. That was a real eye opener when I found out there was a preventive doctor that opened up his practice close by. I thought, oh, I'll go meet him and, you know, come and talk with this guy. This was about 15 years ago. Come to find out that he's doing all the childhood vaccinations and he's, you know, doing all these other vaccinations. I'm like, wait a second, what's this preventive? He goes, well, we're preventing all these diseases from happening. Right. And I wished him a, you know, nice life and walked out. So, yeah.
So and as Bruce had said, you know, the concept of vaccination, even though vaca meaning cow, I mean, it was based on cow pus and all that stuff, is if you introduced a little bit of this, even antigen or attenuator, I would say preferably as a homeopath, we would say nozodes because there's no possibility you could actually succumb if you're vulnerable. But it is a way of imparting information. And that's how we learn about the environment. And typically we take a homeopathic. I mean, there are other ways to deliver them, but even the skin has receptors, as we learn. But you can take it orally and you could, you know, get information the way we're designed to. Exactly. Primarily through the alimentary canal, through the microbiome. And not only is it a storehouse of information, but as we found out, Duke University years ago, and we've talked about this, was astounded when they found out that it was also the seed house, a physical manifestation of, you know, if you were out in the wild and you had a massive poisoning, that the restarting of the microflora would come from the appendix as well. So there's so much more. And modern medicine has done its level best to destroy your ability to adapt to your environment. You know, primarily and among many reasons, through vaccines, but the ripping out of tonsils, for instance, what a horrible thing they visited upon millions of people.
Yeah, and it's happening everywhere, and it's done under the pretense of, you know, prevention. Oh well, you know, your child's got we're going to put this decompression eustachian tube dysfunction. You know, for that reason, we're going to put these little tubes in the ear to equalize the pressure. But while we're here, let me just take out the tonsils too.
Yeah.
And they get to give ice cream, you know, then it's like you need to eat all the ice cream that you want, which is, you know, probably the only benefit of getting your tonsils taken out is getting all the ice cream you want.
You ice cream fanatic, you.
Yeah.
So the idea of, again, ripping out anything that was like, oh, well, we don't know why it's there, so it must not have a reason. I mean, just so arrogant or ignorant or a combination of the two. And we look at how did we end up in this place? And I think
it's a teaching process, Robert. Mm-hmm. So when I was in general surgery residency, you've heard me say this on stage before, our slogans, you know, but we were taught as coming in, even as interns, even as medical students, when you rotate into surgical services, you know, the slogans that like, when in doubt, cut it out, or heal with steel, you know, so there were jokes, but that's really the mentality, you know, words are powerful. So if we keep on saying these, and this is what our attendings and our residents say, and we say, we start thinking the same way. When in doubt, just cut it out. And it's just not the right way of doing it.
Right. Folks, you want to learn from your environment, recognize protecting your cells, protecting and reseeding, repopulating a healthy microbiome. It can transform your life. Things that you would consider miraculous are happening every day when folks realize this and start applying it. Now, a big part of the AHEAD map and the map to get ahead we talked about in the, you know, the Advanced Medicine Conference, by the way, again, we want you to get the access to the videos and we'll tell you how to do that in a little while. But it is to rethink how we got here, what we're suffering from, the reasons why, just like I talk about history, causality, not just independent events with no connection to anything else. This is how they get away with what they get away with. Oh, the tonsils are swollen. It must mean the tonsils are bad. No, they're telling you something. And I prayed to God. I really did. I have visceral memories as a kid because I was under the care of medicine, modern medicine, all of the time. And I had swollen tonsils a lot, always antibiotics. And I said, please, God, don't let them take my tonsils. I don't know. Something in me, Dr. Pitar said, don't let them do it. And my prayers were answered. Somehow I got through because everything else they went after me for, but I didn't have them removed. And I think I was protected just from my sincere petition was listened and answered in that way. And I have them to this very day, despite a lot of the things modern medicine did to me.
Well, it's one of those things that, you know, we sometimes don't recognize at the time, but in retrospect, we do recognize the blessings that were bestowed upon us. And I've had the same type of situation, Robert, so many times. You know, didn't even realize it, but God was watching over and protecting. So I have the same type of thing that I could have had my tonsils taken out. Thank God I didn't. And, you know, it would be an interesting study to look at all the people with chronic diseases and look at them, how many of them have had their appendix and or tonsils removed and do a correlation between chronic disease and the removal of these vestibular organs that are called vestibular organs, these repositories of tremendous information that span, you know, hundreds of thousands of, you know, if not millions of years of the evolutionary process to help allow us to have the information that our bodies need to survive in the current world and to interact with our environment. How many of us that have had the tonsils and or the appendixes removed are now suffering from chronic disease. I think it would be a pretty interesting. In fact, you know what? I think we'll do that at the advanced medicine site. We'll do a little questionnaire and the head map.
Kind of like the VAN VCD, when you ask these questions and we get information based on that self-reporting, which is great. All right, I need to take a breather, just a quick one. We're going to be back with Dr. Bitar. I want to go more into the microbiome. There's now a link to the imbalance and the spread of breast cancer. Give him a chance to read that study, and we'll come back and talk about it. Again, stand by. Sometime this hour, we'll give you some more insight and when it's going to be made available, the entire Advanced Medicine Conference that we had a couple of weeks ago in Southern California, Pasadena. I want you all to get it. But in the meantime, a little beta-glucan to modulate your immune system. We'll be right back, especially you kids. All right, back at it here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week on naturalnewsradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, UK Health Radio, World Broadcasting Network. And, well, if you just come to robertscottbell.com, you'll see it. We've got hundreds, if not thousands of hours with Dr. Bitar doing advanced medicine over the many years. And, of course, the IDFW you can access through advancedmedicine.com, special invitation codes. Dr. Bitar, we got to talk unhealthy gut, and we got some other announcements we'll reveal, as well as how to get the DVDs from the big event we had just a couple of weeks ago for those that weren't able to attend, and we want you to have access to that information. So, did you see this article, Unhealthy Gut Promotes Spread of Breast Cancer? Should be a moment of duh, but why?
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah. Just a moment of duh. So many of these stories, you know, you can just kind of like look across the field and say, it's a moment of duh. So,
yeah, I know. Where do we go from that? So they say an unhealthy inflamed gut causes breast cancer to become much more invasive and spread more quickly to other parts of the body. This is out of the University of Virginia Cancer Center. So maybe more antibiotics, maybe more chemo. I mean, what would be the response to this?
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you could take that sentence and it's saying an unhealthy gut will, and then whatever they've got about the cancer and making it, you know, get it worse, you can insert any disease process and any pathology and it'll make it worse. I mean, hormones, that's the biggest, you know, for the people that have read the 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, I've got the whole story about the 13, you know, the 13 women and the geek and the tree. You remember that story? And I mean, pretty much in all those stories, even the story about the young girl with the juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and by just altering her gut, by just fixing her gut, we were able to get her off methotrexate and gold and Plaquenil and all these other immunosuppressive drugs that would have thrown her into renal failure by the time she's 12 or 13, because she was like 5 or 6 at the time. So all this stuff, you know, you can insert any component in there, because if you fix the gut, if you can get the gut healthy, pretty much everything else will start to improve. That's one reason that the head map focuses in on the liver, the kidneys, the skin. But the first one is actually the gut. So gut and liver are very, very, very intimately involved, right? So if something affects the gut, it's going to affect the liver downstream. If affecting the liver, it's going to affect the gut, because the blood supply basically goes, picks up the nutrients from the gut and then goes to the liver and filters it. And so if your liver's off, those nutrients are going to get, you know, there's going to be sludge in there, not sludge, but you know what I'm saying, that the liver is no longer able to clean the blood because it's picking up toxic substances coming there. And if the liver is off, then the substances that are not being filtered out of the liver, the nutrient supply is all contaminated. So basically the blood supply goes liver, gut, liver, gut, liver, gut. And if we're not addressing the liver and the gut together, we're going to basically be behind the eight ball, and any disease path, any pathology is going to worsen. But it's interesting they've identified the gut there, and I'm glad they did, because that is, in my opinion, gut and liver, it's like one and then 1.1. You know, it's not two. Right. It's like that close to each other.
But isn't it ironic, gastroenterologists and, of course, colorectal docs that do surgery, as I've said, the road to colostomy bags paved with what they do, antibiotics and prednisone. And here's a link to, well, within this article, when we disrupted the microbiome's equilibrium by chronically treating with antibiotics, it resulted in inflammation systemically and within the mammary tissue. In this inflamed environment, I'm reading it right from the article on this, tumor cells were much more able to disseminate from the tissue into the blood and to the lungs, which is a major site for hormone receptor positive breast cancer to metabolize. Yeah. So I'm not opposed for them finding out these pathways. I think it's really cool. For me, that's cool science. At the same time, how many doctors are going to say, whoa, we got to stop with this chronic antibiotic thing, and let's switch to other things like you've done in your practice? With rare exception, do you need to even resort to an antibiotic? Like, I've raised my children, you know, I was grown on antibiotics, and see how much disruption in the guise of saving people's lives from infection, which we could have done many other ways without resorting to it first, second, and third time. Make that the last resort. And so I look at this, I go, this is good stuff that they're finding out.
I mean, my resorting to antibiotics, Robert, is like we talked about the injury. Somebody's cut. They've got or cellulitis. It's spreading up the arm. You know, they've got erythema, and I'll use it. I'll use antibiotics there. Or if I have a cancer patient that has a urinary tract infection that's now we got septic and they're spiking fevers. You know, I mean, that can kill a person. So yes, I'll use an antibiotic there to keep them out of the hospital because then they're going to put them on IV antibiotics to destroy everything. So worse. I'm using our, you know, our IV silver and other things in conjunction with that. And, you know, usually within 24 hours, I mean, the antibiotics, if they're going to be on it, it's going to be for 3 to 5 days. We double up the probiotics. But it's so seldom. I mean, I bet you in the last 10 years, I may have prescribed maybe 3 or 4 prescriptions of antibiotics. And that was, and again, very, very...
Well, if all doctors were like that, we wouldn't be having this resistance issue and so many other issues, right? Here we
MRSA is all because of indiscriminate use of antibiotics.
Evidence of inflammation due to antibiotic use, inflammation being that alteration of the terrain to precipitate what we call disease manifestation, whether it be microbial or whether it be cancer cells that are corrupted through, again, the wonder drugs of the 20th century, antibiotics, and they still have an addiction to them. It's very rare to find a doctor like you, as you know, that it puts it as the last resort or those extreme examples where we go, you know, these are life and death issues, where I agree even as a homeopath. It's like, yes, there is a place for those interventions, but the vast majority of their use, no.
99.9% of the time, it's absolutely unnecessary and it's actually detrimental. Yes. Like steroids, for example, you know, steroids are the worst thing that I think you can do to any human being because sure, you're going to give them a temporary relief from that itching or that pain or whatever, but you're raping their immune system. You're literally lighting it up on fire and destroying it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just destroying it. In fact, for those that are on right now that are IADFW members, tonight when I do the IADFW broadcast, I will talk about a specific case on a cancer patient that was a minister with the lung cancer who was a stage 4 cancer patient. And I thought he was going to be our first and only patient up to that point that had gone through a stage 4 case, status post chemo and radiation and only needing one round of treatment. And what happened with steroids, what they did. So it'll be an interesting story. I don't want to talk about it openly, but
sure.
I think, Robert, you already know which story I'm talking about. But the use of steroids is just absolutely categorically the worst thing that you can do for an individual. And there's got to be things out there that'll reduce inflammation on a natural level. Like arnica, I don't think arnica will, is arnica work it's proactively? More, I know that it's great from a proactive standpoint, but will it act? Will it act well after the fact?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's reactive, but it's due typically to injury type inflammation, not often as systemic. I've mentioned the remedy phosphorus. That is heat, which is inflammation with or without infection, that I always will go to. So that's one. But here's
the phosphorus homeopathic you're talking about would be a good one for a person that needs a steroid, for example, to cool them off.
Correct. Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, here, having said that, it's like anything, that there's not one size fits all homeopathic remedy, even though arnica seems to fit almost everything because it has a broad range of action. So when I say phosphorus, yes, in most cases, it's going to be great. There are times where you go, well, this particular thing would indicate, you know, and just like, you know, you and I talked and I've given you general things over the years. And then your lovely lady says, hey, what about this? Like, it was a very specific and unique, brilliant intuition that led to that, you know, if I went into, yeah, we could go there. But I try to kind of bring a broad-based understanding that I hope people will go further with. So, you know, in this context, again, giving options like that, you're not going to go wrong. The good news is you're not going to harm anybody when you do that. If it doesn't work, you always have something at the ready, as opposed to steroids, first resort, because we know what it does. You know, but again, the danger of it is very, very real. Now, Dr. Pitar, how will people get the DVDs? You mentioned the IADFW, and it was interesting because you said, I don't want to talk about, for instance, that case of that stage 4 lung cancer patient. I'm like, folks, the reason why is because we're technically in the public domain here. You're not members of the Robert Scott Bell Show. We don't have a private membership group. Having one like the IADFW allows you to get out of the public and into a private kind of organization that allows the freedom of speech to be reactivated. So you can speak more directly and openly about that. That's the reason why it was done. So if you haven't already signed up, we have a membership or invitation code that you can use. You'll get your own once you sign up, but 1358 or 1358 for Robert Scott Bell Show listeners. But this is the idea of going in there. And is this the way they're going to be able to access the DVDs? Will it be only for IADFW members or people who attended? Or are you going to broaden the availability of these DVDs?
Well, Robert, the feedback that we've gotten, the first thing is, if you're listening to this show in any capacity, please go to advancedmedicineconference.com. We just put this up. I think it was late Saturday night, like after midnight, and already we've had people making comments. So please go there, and just on the homepage, put down, if you attended, put down whatever your experience was. And if you didn't attend, put down why you're going to be there next year, or put down, you know, why you weren't able to come, and just share the reason that you wanted to be there. Because I know there's a lot of people that want to be there but couldn't be there. But there's two reasons for this. Because the first thing is, we want the rest of the world to know that the information was so transformational, and so many people that were there expressed emotions. Robert, you were there, so you saw how many people had tears in their eyes, and it was just literally transformational for them. Mm-hmm. And the number of people that came in, that came up to me personally and told me, you know, I didn't even know about this conference. I just saw it, and I got my ticket that same day, and I, you know, booked my flights. We had an attorney from India that came. We actually had three different people that came from India, all the way from India. Dr. Clint Rogers came from India. He was there, and he came just for the conference. We had people that came from Russia. We had people there from New Zealand. We had, you know, and these aren't like just one group of people that came from New Zealand. There were like four or five people, and none of them knew each other. They came from New Zealand and Australia. We had people there from Russia. So it was just really impressive to see how many people came from different parts of the world. And many of them said that they didn't realize that the conference, they didn't even know that this conference was going on until like the last minute. So I don't want to hold people back, hold the information back from people that weren't able to come. And, you know, there's also a constraint of logistics and timing and the cost of flights and hotels and such. So we have decided to make it available to everybody. And for the listeners of the Robert Scott Bell Show, we'll have a discount code, and it's going to give you guys a big discount compared to what everybody else would have, just because you're a Robert Scott Bell listener and Advanced Medicine member listener. And if you're an IADFW member, there's going to be a different code for you guys, because there's going to be a little bit incentive there for IADFW members that weren't there. Now, if you were an attendee at the conference, don't go in there and order, because you guys are going to get you know, it's basically, it's like an 80% discount.
The best deal, because you guys spent the time, the effort, the energy, you paid to be there, and, you know, we want to reward you for that, of course.
Exactly.
If you were slack and you didn't attend, we're going to hit you hard. No, you're going to get discounts anyway. But the point is, I want to have access to this information, because it was so extraordinary. The lectures were great. Again, Bruce Lipton, you know, that guy's amazing. We love him. And I want everybody to be able to watch and witness what we witnessed.
Absolutely. Robert, if I can just add one more thing, go to that. When you go there, there are two places on the homepage. So enter in your email if you want to be notified, because when the discount codes become available, and it's going to run all the way till the actual DVDs become available, because they're being edited right now. Because once that happens, they're going to go to full price. So put your email in there, and that way it'll register your name, and you can be notified that it's coming, you know, the discount code is becoming live,
right.
And then you'll be able to, Robert will announce the discount code for the Robert Scott Bell Show, and some of the other people that are helping us to get the word out there, they'll be announcing their own codes. But register now so that you are on the list to be notified before they become available, because that's going to be like the early bird, like, discount that people get. Because once it goes live, there is no discount. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, please put down your comments about the conference. And here's why. The three most powerful responses that people that were there that experienced, you will get a free set of the DVDs, all right? So, and it's basically go through and read the different comments and like the ones that you think are powerful, because it's going to be all based upon the response. So if somebody has, you know, 500 likes on their comment, they're going to be getting, assuming that 500 is the highest, they will get a free set of the DVDs. And we're going to do... The highest one is going to get a free set of the DVDs plus a ticket to next year's event, which is going to be on May 23rd, 24th in Pasadena again. The second highest comments will get a free set of DVDs, and the third one will get a free ticket to the next year's event. And we're doing that in that category for everybody that attended. And then for those that didn't attend, the most powerful comments about the conference, about, you know, why they wanted to be there, et cetera, we're going to do the same thing. So there's going to be a total of six gifts, but you have to make a comment and then go through all the other comments and vote. So don't forget to vote. And have your friends and family go and vote for you too. And this is a good way for us to get the word out there so more people become aware of what's going to happen,
nice,
what the DVDs are.
All right, so those links are up. If they aren't already, Super Don will make them available as well at robertscottbell.com, so y'all check them out. Now, we got an announcement about scheduling changes, scheduling shifts. Dr. Batar is so darned in demand. I've had him practically all to myself for how many years now, Dr. Batar? Hogging you?
Almost 10 years.
Not letting anybody have at you, right? I'm just too possessive. I think that's the problem.
Right? No, Robert, I like being possessed by you, man. I mean, you've been a great, great ally, and you've been a friend for 2 decades. And so the you know, with a little bit of a heavy heart, but it's not really that big of a deal, because I know that I'll be on the show. We're basically not going to be doing advanced medicines anymore at 4 o'clock Eastern time anymore. Robert and I are going to be, you know, if Robert wants me back anytime, I'll be happy to try to come on the show just like any other guest. We're still going to do advanced medicines, but we're going to do it in the evenings like we've been doing for 9 years.
Your schedule in the middle of the day is not conducive with your patient right. load and everything else
exactly.
to do it when our new time slot is.
Right.
And
not going to be doing new stuff like Robert does. And I'll still be listening to the Robert Scott Bell show to get my own news. But we're changing it a little bit more because there's so many people, you know, asking questions. And I just went to AskDrButar.com and just looked. And just in the last 2 weeks, we've had 67 people ask questions from China, just unbelievable places, Robert. I mean, I didn't know that we had people listening to us in China. But there were 3 questions that came in from China from different people. So I'm still going to be doing advanced medicine Mondays, but it's going to be more answering just medical questions. And then I'll be doing the IADFW right afterwards. So we're still doing advanced medicine Mondays. It will not be in the same format, and it won't be on the Robert Scott Bell show. But Robert and I are still very good friends. Robert's still going to be IADFW. I'm still going to come on the show whenever Robert asks me to come. And, you know, so that's basically the announcement. We almost made it 10 years.
Yes.
And who knows, maybe we'll find that we both miss each other, Robert, and can't do without it and come back. And I don't know, but our bond is the same, and if not tighter. And yes. We're just, because of the scheduling issue, we're just going to try this for a while. And see.
Speaking of being tearful, bored to tears, you can watch Dr. Batar at night answer questions from people around the world. All the excitement will be happening here.
No, right.
Listen, the questions are unbelievable. And if you ever watch Dr. Batar do his thing when I'm not constraining him and tying him down to a format, it's great. You're going to learn a lot. But I still want
all over the place. Nobody knows where it's going to go.
It's true. Well, we still want you to be members of IDFW and all the good things that are happening through that. And as I said, the Advanced Medicine Conference, and, you know, we're still plugging and pushing that out to the world, because it is a legitimate way to bring the power to heal. One of the most efficient ways to bring the power to heal back where it belongs with each and every one of you. So that continues, folks. That continues.
Absolutely.
Did you feel a disturbance in the force with that schedule change?
Did I?
Yeah, there's a great disturbance in the force. Oh, no. Oh no, it's not you, Robert. It's me. It's not you, Rashid. It's me. That's Michael Bolden's comment from 10th Amendment Center.
I got you. Okay, good.
I was glad Michael and Sarah came to the end. I wish they saw the Q&A. They got to see the final Q&A that we did, the session when Bruce Lipton went just intense on those things. I was so grateful that Michael could be there for that from the 10th Amendment Center as well.
And it was kind of interesting, Robert. I don't know. We've probably still been there if somebody hadn't said, wait a second, you know, their flight. I thought it was still 5 o'clock. It was already like 6:45 at that point.
Yeah.
And then you saw the security people were just trying to hurt us out there. I mean,
I was thinking, you know, Bruce Lipton was going to miss his flight. That would be the worst. He's like, he comes to this thing, we don't let him out in time. So, by the way, Michael, your ears were burning, I hope. In first hour, we had Mike Adams, a health ranger, on. We talked about decentralization, the role of the 10th Amendment, and all of these things as well. And a big part of even IADFW is decentralization. It's bringing it back, the power to heal, to you. The ultimate, you know, is the individual. It's you. We want to help each other do it, but even Dr. Batar doesn't heal you, right? There's no doctor that heals you, right?
That's right. And that's a very, very important thing. Robert, you and I have shared the stage enough times to know that you know that I've always said that all credit belongs to the creator. And if there's any credit that comes to anybody else, then it's to the patient who went through the trials and tribulations themselves. Mm-hmm. And we as healers are, if anything, we're just along for the ride. We're conduits to the creator's power, but the power to heal is absolutely yours, and it comes from the way that we were designed. Mm-hmm. And if we can get rid of the stuff that's blocking us, detoxify the body effectively, and that's a key word, effectively, because detoxification is a very cheap word. People use it indiscriminately, but people don't really understand what it means. If you can effectively detoxify the body of the toxicities that we talk about, you know, and based on my philosophies, the seven toxicities that I talk about in the nine steps to keep the doctor away, chronic disease by definition cannot exist. I mean, that's why, the reason why is because the body has the innate ability to heal itself. And that's one reason that that slogan, the power to heal, you know, it's so, that's one reason I kind of change it slightly when I say it, it's power to heal is unequivocally yours, is because it truly, really is. It's not just a great slogan that Robert came up with 20 years ago, although it is a great slogan, but it's more than that. It's the truth. I mean, it is the absolute truth. And those of you that have experienced, you know, the spontaneous healing that we talk about, it wasn't spontaneous. It's how the body was designed to work. You know, it's like when Bruce talks about side effects. They're not side effects. They're direct effects. But because they're undesired, we call them side effects. Mm-hmm. So this is nothing to do with a slogan or words. Or this is how the system works. And for us to recognize it, mm-hmm. you know, for us meaning us as humans, to recognize it and then invoke it and do everything we can to facilitate it, that's where the wisdom lies. That's where the innate wisdom of the universe lies, that we're allowing it to inundate us and inform us and guide us so that we can start to heal ourselves.
Yeah. And next week, tune in for Remedial Medicine Monday without Dr. Bitar. I'll be doing all the things he wouldn't let me do all of these years.
Robert, you know that I'm only a phone call away, man. You need me for anything. I'm always there for you. You know that.
No, you know, you are far too complimentary of me. Michael Bolden says we're breaking up. No, we're not breaking up, Michael. you know, you were embarrassingly complimentary of me. I don't know what was going on there behind the scenes at the Advanced Medicine Conference, you know, talking about this humble homeopath with an occasional bad attitude. You know, and the knowledge base I have, again, it's an observation and principles. That's what I, you know, start with there, and everything else from that just extends.
Now, you know that I have never blown smoke up anybody's rear end. If I say something, it's never a compliment. It's just a fact. And I mean, I see it that way. And, you know, I wasn't being complimentary to you. I was just stating the fact. And you're an amazing individual as a person, as a friend, but you're also an amazing individual as a healer. And you give voice to people that don't have voice. You give you're able to give information out to the masses that otherwise people wouldn't know. And so that's a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. And to do it as gracefully and as with clarity, the way you do it, it's, you know, I can't tell you how much it's meant to me to be part of this for the last 9.5 years.
Yeah. By the way, if I ever hear you saying the power to heal is your, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's why, see, I was smart. I changed the side. The power to heal is
unequivocally. It's like plausible deniability. I don't know if he came up with it or not. Anyway, no. This is my, it's not, it's a gift to the world. Not, it's not mine. I don't own it. And I've said that from the beginning. Y'all say it because it's the God's honest truth. That's why you say it. All right. So let's transition to a couple of vaccine stories. We haven't talked vaccines today, weirdly enough. It's like, it's awesome. Wow. We don't have to talk about it. Well, we do now. Two stories before we wrap up. Waning potency of pertussis vaccination. Waning potency of pertussis vaccine. A significant contributor to recent whooping cough outbreaks. You mean it's not all those crazy anti-vaxxers, the people not getting shot up or allowing their kids? No, the vaccine doesn't work. They're acknowledging it now in the medical literature. Of course, if you mention it, they will attack you. They will censor you. They will do all these horrible things. Man, they should just shut down Medical Express as a website. I can't believe they would publish this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that Miller's Review, that's a great book. I saw that. I think you had covered it and somebody had sent me some information about it. And I thought, you know, I got to order that book.
That's excellent.
And I added my things to do. And then all of a sudden, I get a copy. It was sent to me. I don't know. I don't know whether the author sent it to me or who sent it to me, but somebody sent me a book, you know, with a nice little cover letter. And it was very appreciative. I was very appreciative of having received it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you start looking at these studies, I mean, these are just 400 of I don't know how many out there. When you start looking at these studies and talking, seeing how the studies showed that the vaccines weren't working, or the side effects, or the I shouldn't say side effects, the direct mm-hmm. effects that are not desired, the undesired effects of the yes. vaccines, you start wondering why. I mean, the only question that comes to me is, do these people that are talking, the doctors that are giving the vaccines, do they know how to read? Hmm. Because it's already published. It's out there. And the information yeah. that you have to ask, you know, maybe they're illiterate and they just don't know how to read. I don't know what's going on, because it's in English and I can read English and I can read them myself. And I'm pretty sure you can read them too. Yeah. So I don't understand why everybody, you know, how they can keep on. It's that, what did you call it? The
cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance.
And you know, here, they're just acknowledging it. Again, this is coming from the peer-reviewed medical literature, major studies, overviews, reviews, things like that. And, you know, what we're doing with our friend Sherry Tenpenny, V-Science Bites. We can't even call it vaccine science bites because we're going to get censored. V-Science Bites, we call it. So what are we doing? We're going into the peer-reviewed medical literature, just using that as our alibi, so that if they say we're anti-science and we go to the journals and go, well, then you better complain to that journal because they published this. Just like this article about the waning immunity of the DPT, the pertussis or whooping cough, a portion of it. And it's not surprising to you or me. We've been following this for many years. Now we've got a more absurd statement about chickenpox vaccines. How absurd chickenpox vaccine. I mean, as benign and not deadly measles is, let's be honest about it, with children that are normally developing, healthy children, they don't die of measles. They just don't.
Yeah.
Chickenpox. What? Where is... Well, I guess these are the same doctors that are ripping out body parts that are actually have a place and don't need to be ripped out. They see chickenpox vaccine shields against shingles, but I've seen kids with the chickenpox vaccine getting shingles that I've never heard of kids getting shingles 20, 30 years ago.
That's exactly right, because when you have had chickenpox and you haven't had the vaccine, your body is being trained. Again, the immune system is being trained on how to deal with the Coxsackie virus. And so then there's other aspects that you're never going to have to worry about, because there's a component between the herpetic lesions and there's a whole connection between some of these different types of pathogens. And so when the immune system has been trained by exposure to one, then it actually has a training for many of the other substances in the same class. You can think of that.
Vaccines can't duplicate that, though.
Exactly. They can't duplicate it. And then when you prevent that particular component, that chickenpox from the child from having that chickenpox, then it allows them to now be exposed and vulnerable to the shingles, to the herpes simplex virus and all these other components that people become susceptible to, because their system wasn't trained at the right time by the chickenpox virus. Mm-hmm. So that, in other words, the lack of exposure to the chickenpox allows them to become susceptible later on to these other conditions.
Well, and the thing is that they're saying here, and what researchers found is what they're claiming, that kids who were vaccinated against chickenpox had 78% lower risk of developing shingles. But again, shingles, you don't remember 20, 30 years ago, that was a rare thing to ever hear about. And I'm thinking, what is the trigger here? Partly that you don't let kids get chickenpox. And if they're comparing this, perhaps, and this is something I didn't go into today to be able to review this, just getting off the trip. But if we're comparing it to people who have never had the chickenpox, they get the chickenpox vaccine. I don't know the study design here, but it's counterintuitive when we know what happens with these things.
You'd have to look at it to really see what happens is children that have gotten the chickenpox vaccine and then end up having the shingles later on in life versus children that had no vaccine and no chickenpox outbreak in their response to shingles later on in life versus the group that actually had chickenpox, had their immune system exposed, and then their instance of chicken of shingles later on in life. And I can tell you that I haven't done a study on this, but I've been aware of this for probably the last 10 years. And I always ask that in our medical history, and the people that have had chickenpox or remember having chickenpox, I have never seen any of those individuals that have shingles.
Right, shingles, yeah. And we also know that the law of the terrain, again, coming back to the concept of what is your environment? How do you respond to the environment? If you are under constant stress, or let's say a recent episode of intense stress, that usually always precedes a shingles outbreak in adults who are vulnerable, because this viral activity becomes possible due to depletion. Emotional stress can deplete you as much as physical stress can deplete you.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And then we're talking negative toxins now, not exercise. That's a positive stress. So yeah, you're right. That was the design flaw that I'm looking at. I would bet that they did not compare children who actually had the real chickenpox, because what you're doing is comparing a population that there's no chickenpox spreading around. It's very rare. You've got to dig and find somebody like I did with my kids, even measles, to get the real thing. And so that they have that developed immunity and the transition to function in organs that are benefited via that learning process. Not via injection, by exposure via normal mechanisms, whether they call it airborne or even, as we say, ingestion. And that's where a lot of this thing happens.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
We are up on the final break today. And can you stick around for a few more minutes, do extra innings with us?
Absolutely.
Okay. So with that, say thanks to all our wonderful sponsors for making this message of health, freedom, and healing liberty possible. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. Again, schedule shift next week. We're developing it. If you guys and gals out there have ideas and comments and questions, throw them our way. And you get more of Dr. Bitar by becoming a member of the IDFW, their online Facebook groups, etc. And we'll continue getting that information out to you. So with that, Dr. Bitar, tell them what they need to know before we sort of got to go.
That the power to heal is unequivocally yours.